Today I want to share with you the fact that your faith in Christ is so precious. Your faith in God is so precious. You didn't cut all these kilometers or kilometers, as we would say in Arabic, just in vain, because you believe that the Lord has called you to Himself and He saved you and He gave you faith in Him and His promises. And this faith is precious if we are ever going to stay in this world in which we live, to face all the challenges as Christians who have distinct faith in our God. We need this faith. You need your faith. And that is why the Lord God says it's precious. It's valuable. A valuable belief in God that will save you. And we will see what Peter will say more about this. It's a firm persuasion, that faith. You have been convinced that this is the absolute truth. And you know why it is the absolute truth. As one who has come to have a relationship with God. I trust that God has done something for you specifically. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His life, His teaching, His work, His death on the cross, His victorious resurrection, this accomplished wonderful things. As you put your faith in this, you are forgiven. You become alive and you walk with God and you have His precious faith in you. So this faith enables us to walk with God. How do we receive this faith? This is what Apostle Peter is saying. So he says, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he calls himself a servant, even though an apostle. So someone who walked with the Lord and he got this faith, this precious faith. And then actually he will say that this faith that I have as an apostle is the same faith you have. You see, it's the same faith. He's not just being an apostle. He's not going to lord it over these people with his letter. He sees himself like he was just saved like them, but called to be an apostle to encourage them. And that is what gives him really the authority to write to us even today, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and because the Bible says the Bible is written by men of God filled with the Holy Spirit, led to write this divine truth to us. And so here he just like pursues, he appeals to us and saying, I am one of you, I am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to you who through the righteousness of our God. So his God is your God. It's the same thing. It's the same faith, the faith he had. So if you think of Peter, he was a weak person. He was a fisherman. He was not sophisticated like many of us today. He was a fisherman, and yet Christ called him. And not only that, he was just a strong fisherman. Also, he didn't have faith in the first place. And actually, he had faith, and then later on, even he denied the Lord Jesus himself. And then because of the love of Christ and the power of God, and so he was brought back again, and he was raised up, and he was called to go and encourage. That is why we can have confidence in what he is saying to us today, and we can take it seriously through the Holy Spirit. And he says, this faith, through the righteous, we have received it, not because we are good in ourselves, himself included, but it's because of the righteousness of God. God's actions always in reaching out to us are right. God who is right, and he has decided to save us. So he is righteous. He's righteous. He's loving. He decided to do this. And so he did it out of his own accord, not because of anything we have done in righteousness. And you know, Apostle Paul can help us with this very much. And he says this in his letter to Titus. So he says this, chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, verses 3 to 5. He said, at one time, we too were foolish. We were foolish. Before coming to Christ and knowing, having this faith, we were foolish. That is what he's saying, making really bad decisions, disobedient to God, even having believing in wrong things. This morning I was with my two boys. They were coughing so badly, runny nose, and so just running up to bring them tissues, Noah and George. And we started to talk about the theories of creation. And then they got bunk bed, actually, Junior, up there. He said, "Oh, that is really a silly idea to believe. So Big Bang, and so collusion of things." So they know all these things. So even not to believe these things is a mercy, isn't it? But some people today, they believe in the Big Bang theory, you see. But for you not to believe in that, to believe in the creation by faith, you know that the heaven has been created, you see. That is precious, that you believe the right thing. How about that? And then we will just talk about these things. So these the wrong belief, they crush those who believe them, isn't it? There's no life in these things. There is no truth in this. There is no joy in this. In these beliefs. But that is why our faith, the faith we have, is so precious, because they land us before God. It lands us before God. It gives us the freedom to believe the right thing. That is why it's so precious. And Apostle Paul is saying, well, there was a divide between before we believe and after we believe. We were foolish. We were disobedient to God and to his promises. Deceived by clever people. And enslaved to passions and wrong desires, and being bold and doing the wrong things and committing sins. All kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating other people. So that, is that your experience? But, he says, when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteousness things we've done or of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. You see, because of his mercy. That is what really Peter is saying here. It's through God's righteousness and Jesus Christ, our Savior. God has decided to save us, and Jesus acted, came, and we've been given this faith in him. While he greeted them and he said, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord," saying the grace and peace will be multiplied just only through this faith, the faith that God, knowing God, the faith that God of the heaven and the earth is my God, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. So this says this, okay? Now, he continued to press on and to encourage these people, telling them, verse 3, I read it and I tell you the context. Why? Why is this? He said his divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Well, Apostle Peter is writing his second letter to the same audience he addressed in his first letter. But the circumstances, the context is different. The first audience, they were going through persecution. They were going through persecutions. But here, these people were going through false teaching. There was false teaching running around. And today, you and I, we face different things, isn't it, at different times. And yet, this precious faith is able to face all these situations. We are able, by his grace, through this very faith that he has given us, to go through all these tough, hard things, isn't it? Whether persecution from other people, or other people are trying to take us away from our secure positions, our firm faith in our God, because if we, Peter will tell us, if we lose sight of these things, we will be open up to all the dangers and the problems. We will be robbed of joy and security. This morning, he drew our attention so seriously and beautifully to our need not to have our minds in our homes and our jobs or the things that we are facing, but actually to open our hearts to our God. And as we do this in a moment of faith, the Holy Spirit comes upon us powerfully and God is glorified. And that is a call. God wants us really to take this faith seriously. It's precious. It's what will enable you to enter into the throne of God. Even as you are sitting here with your thoughts and with your heart, just having wonderful fellowship with God your Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is why it's mystery, isn't it? So you can be in heaven while you are on this seat. You can solve all your problems while you are just sitting by a switch of your minds and your heart, and you have all the peace and the security that God wants you to have because simply you are trusting Him. You are trusting Him. And there is no other means by which we can have this, only this faith, through this faith. Well, those people, they were trying to tell people that there is other way by which you can be secure. But here Peter is saying, no, it's through the divine power of God. Because these false teachers, they were trying to move God's people from believing God's promises. And he addressed them in chapter 2, verse 19. He said, these philosophers, these religious philosophers, the Greek philosophers, they were saying in Gnosticism, that is a form of philosophy, that the material world is bad and the spirit is good. You see? And so they were saying you can escape, escape this corrupt world by immersing yourself into the spiritual realms. So that is what they were saying, these false teachers. So they were encouraging these people to escape the material world and of decay around them, believing that their soul was divine and immortal. It is called Gnosticism, as I said. They provided this as a hope for everyone, and imagine a Christian embracing this. You see? And just to think that this world is bad and we can just things like New Age and then climate change, Buddhism and Hinduism, and so you just want to think the other world is not right. So these people were trying to discourage God's people to live a full life for God and to know that even our bodies have been sanctified. So we are to honor God, to love Him with all our strength and our minds and our souls and even our own body. Our bodies can come under even the influence of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. So now Peter is saying, no. It's the divine power of God. Divine power is the one that gives us everything we need for life and godliness, to live in this world and also to have the spiritual relationship with God. It's through God's divine power. It's not through any other means, but only through God's divine power. And so he encourages us even today not to move our minds aside and to think that we can do things ourselves to make us be accepted by God. No, he's saying, no, it's God who is the giver of all. And you see this, the word give is repeated all the time. Salvation is a gift from God. Faith is a gift. And God, through His power, He has given us all these things. So God is a giving God. God is a God who gave us promises. Also, He says this. Through this, He has given us, verse 4, His very great and precious promises. You see? So everything is from God. And now we move to see why. Why God is giving all these things. So God gives all these things. There is always a purpose attached to his great work, isn't it? When God does something, so he for a reason, and the purpose he for his actions toward us, he did all these things. He saved us. He gave us this precious faith. And he has brought us to a knowledge of him. And he multiplies this grace and peace, grace where we receive things from him, not out of our performance or anything. Peace against all the odds, and when things are bad. He does all these things for a purpose. And the purpose is that through his divine power, through his works, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruptions in the world caused by evil desire. So God doing these things so that you can know him more. You can have an intimate relationship with the divine God himself. This faith, this work of God, so he just prepares all these things so that you have a wonderful relationship with him. God's ultimate purpose in saving us is to be in union with him, is to walk with him. Remember the first thing he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 8. He said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out so that they might worship me. You see, to have intimate relationship with God. So in all these things, and that is why we are not to lose sight of these things. Sometimes we can just leave the blesser, you see, and just start to enjoy his blessings and forget that his blessing were to bring us closer to him, to walk with him, to know him. Because these things can finish, isn't it? And even if these things are not there, he is enough. Christ is enough for me. Do we mean it, really? When everything is just like falling apart, can God still amuse you by his presence and his love and his glory? That is what he is calling us to. He didn't call us to have more possessions, or to maybe a lot of degrees, mansions. No, he calls us to know the purpose for which he has created us after his own image. To participate in his nature. To be good, to be holy, to love. Because there is no any other way by which we can really be good. Or love, or to be loving. Or to be kind. All these are his attributes, and through our union with him, we will come to receive all these qualities and virtues. And that is why there are fruits of the Holy Spirit that we receive only by the salvation, by having come to believe in Jesus Christ and know him as your Lord and your Savior. And there, the heavens is opened, and all the virtues that God would want to bestow upon his own very people, who have believed, who have this precious faith in him and in his promises. To participate, to experience a perfect union with him. That is one of his ultimate goals. So that if you have all this, it will be so easy to discern what is so corrupting, isn't it? It will be so easy for you to loathe what seemed to be really beautiful. Isn't it? I love this verse in Proverbs. I think it's 27. That was, a heart that is satisfied will even trample on honey. You see? And for those who are hungry, you see, for everything, so even bad things, they will think are good. So you will be able to escape the corruptions in the world. You will be able to overcome even sinful desires. You will overcome all the temptations. But you cannot overcome all these temptations if you neglect this precious faith you have and the promises of God that he has given us, you will not be able. You will not be able to escape the world corruptions. Without the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to do that. Well, one of the things I love about God, when he gives us a message, always he would just give us a theological foundation, isn't it? The teaching. So he will just present us with the truth about himself, God, who is the giver, who is a loving God, who is righteous. You see? And then Jesus Christ himself, who is the second person of the Trinity, who came and took our flesh and limited himself and humbled himself and saved us and took our place. And God is just giving us this truth and giving us why he is doing these things. Why you have been saved. Why you have been given this precious faith. Why you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. And then he has just given this to you. And then also he says, so that you make every effort to add to your faith. And so he said, like, I have done this for you. But now, how about if you are thrown into a river, just say, deep river, 1 kilometer. And you have been swimming for 20 years or 15 years. You know how to swim. And your life now is in danger. Will you swim to the shore or not? Will you just say, even though I know how to swim, I don't want to swim to the shore. Let me die. Can a person in his right mind do something like that? How about if you have unfinished business? And unfinished business, like I want to preach more and more, isn't it? I want to help even my family. I want to raise up my children. And here I can't drown even while I can swim to the shore. You see? Well, God has given us this and he says, well, look, you need to now add. And by adding, it's not by your own effort. He says, just make every effort to add to your faith, to this faith. Set to flame the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will excel. You will advance the kingdom of God. You will be fruitful. You will be effective in the kingdom of God. Because there is a vast difference between those who are so diligent, taking their precious faith so seriously, wanting to live it out, than those who do not care and would want to die even they can swim to the shore, 50 kilometers, a person with no purpose. But we have been called to work with God and for God to do his work in us and through us. And that is why our life is precious. We don't just go and throw ourselves in front of a train or a bus or anything. That is why we drive carefully, because this life is so precious. We have been given a faith and we are to finish the calling of God. He gave us life. He gave us days to live. And he is the only person who will determine when to depart from this world. While we are in this world, we are to make every effort. You see, to have goodness. This is what he says. Add to your faith goodness. Goodness. What is goodness? Really, is a long list. 8 virtues. I don't want to go through them one by one. But goodness coming from good, isn't it? Being good all the time. You can choose to be bad. But we are good because the Holy Spirit is good always. And a person who is walking with Christ, he will not be anything but be good with others, especially. Good with God, wherever they go. And to have the knowledge of God, and not to be lost all the time, but to have the right understanding and to knowledge, self-control. Just imagine if we don't have self-control, people saying things to you, you react to these things. You cannot manifest the faith, the precious faith given to you in these ways. It can only be shared and shown and lived out only in a person that really has a self-control. You see, patience with God and with other people. Last night I was with Nyakim, this lady who was saved. She was in our midst. I had good time. And she recounted also the things that she went through. You see, and patient with God was the things her family exercised. They were praying and God was not acting immediately to save their daughter. So but they didn't give up on their faith. You see, they kept going. And even when it was going to be hopeless, they didn't give up on their faith. Their mom said, because they said if we take off the life support, maybe she will have only 5 minutes or 1 hour. And then after that, the mom said, look, we have trusted our God. We have prayed. We will continue to trust him. I'm going to sign and just like to have the life support taken out. But they were giving. They were in faith. Even things were going to look really grim and bad. So that is self-control and patience with God. You see? And so what happens after that? They took the life support. And then suddenly she started to breathe and said, oh, I'm hungry. I need a coffee. This girl who was brain dead for 40 days. And they said she will be vegetable. She will lose her sight and everything. And now she's trusting God also for complete healing for every part of her life. So the Lord is encouraging us really to have all these virtues, really to practice them and to pray to God to help us and to persevere and to be godly and to be kind, brotherly kindness, phileo. You see, it's just only to love brothers and sisters sincerely from the heart, wanting the best for them. That is the Christian virtues. You see, you put them ahead of you, and it's a work of God, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the faith we have believed in us. So our brothers and our sisters are so precious and more than ourselves, because in them lives the Christ himself, and they are themselves, they can bring him glory as they refuse sins, as they testify to that. And so will that be your great joy when you see a brother and a sister shining? Unfortunately, in certain circles, envy, hatred and jealousy and all sorts of things. These are not to be entertained by those who have this precious faith. But our brothers, we are to be kind to them. You see, kind enough. I can't even express this. It's a mystery. They are part of your body, isn't it? The Bible says. They are my hand, they are my eyes, isn't it? How many blessings we have received, even through their prayers. Yesterday, were you here yesterday? We were in three groups sometimes. We were praying, and then people were praying for you. You see, and then the impact of that through the day, you see, of having been prayed for by your brothers and sisters. Why wouldn't you want to be kind to them? And you see, faith and love. Here, he finishes that. Love. God is love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look, this knowledge has really harvest, has many ramifications. And this ramification is that we will be able by his divine power and grace, to do things that will bring glory to himself and also will impact other people's lives. And that is why we are called to cultivate all these virtues and to pray earnestly for God to multiply them in us, to make us more holy, make us more kind, more godly, more desiring to serve God, to live faithfully for him. You see, if you think it's just like for personal decoration, why not? This is what God wants to us to be crowned with, not anything else, not maybe not Olympic medals. You see, no, these virtues, so that we will be effective. Why we are blaming the world that we are unable to touch lives? Why we are not effective in gospel proclamation? Why we are not seeing many souls saved? Maybe we are lacking in these virtues. And that what we need, the Lord says here, really, if we make this a priority, he will help us. He is the one who will do this in us. And to come to the end, these things, make every effort to add to them, to the faith, to this precious faith you have. You will have a wonderful ministry. And he says, if anyone does not have them, if you don't have these promises we have been given, if we don't have these virtues, so you lose sight of two things, the past and the present. The past that you have been saved by God, and you lost the excitement of being forgiven all your sins. And then also you lose sight of the future, that as you live in this way, Christ is going to reward you and to crown you. And so you don't have any choice. If you are saved, if you have this precious faith. Because not making every good effort to live this out, then you are denying that you have been saved. That is what he's saying. You have forgotten that you have been cleansed from your past sin. It's a precious faith, isn't it? Therefore, he finished with this. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the calling for us today. I was going to stop from verse 4, but the word, all that from 1 to 4 we're doing is to bring us to this point, to urge us to make our election sure, to prove it by holding fast to this precious faith we have. And by doing that, actually, we will be combating, we will be defeating our enemy who is working day and night. I can testify to this, and I hope you can testify to this also. If you neglect to keep watch of yourself, you will be like a person who hasn't been saved, isn't it? How many people who have rebelled against God have embraced even false teaching after they had been saved and cleansed and given the blessings of being saved? We are not to be like that. We are not to be like that. We are to be wise, to be deliberate in our walk with the Lord, to make times. You see, that is why it is very important that we read our Bible. I myself, whenever I don't read my Bible, I grow weak in my conviction, and the Holy Spirit will go low. You can never be effective. You cannot encourage a person who is crushed by troubles. You can. But if you are on fire, I think I said from this place, when I said like, a discouraged person cannot encourage, you see, a discouraged person. You see, you need to be encouraged and to be on fire and to be walking in faith. So precious like this. And the just shall live by faith. How are you going? Are the problems you are facing are just crushing you? Or are you facing them with faith, with the promises of God? We just sang it. Jesus said, if I'm thirsty, I shall come to him, isn't it? He said that. And I was thinking, when we were singing this song, where in the Bible? John 7:37, isn't it? If anyone is thirsty, let him come. You see? Those who are weak and heavy laden, come. These are his promises, isn't it? And why will we go somewhere else? When Apostle Paul himself is telling us this, he's telling us this. In this word, he's saying, if we have all these promises, we put them in the right place, we will overcome. That is what he's saying. But if anyone, this is a promise, if you don't have these promises of God and this precious faith, you are lost. It's a promise, isn't it? And God can never lie. That is what really Grace shared with us this morning. Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will, not they may, they will keep you. They will. This is a promise of God, isn't it? Well, many are problems. There are a lot of problems outside there, and maybe you face some of them. But, well, today I encourage you not to dwell on the problems, but look to God and look to what Jesus can do as you take hold of him and trust his promises. Let us pray.